Happy Sabbath. It's a blessing for me to be here with you guys. It's always sad to say goodbye, especially to the church that I love. I learned to love this church. Been here for 2 years already. It's crazy. Time flies. I just remember the day I came from the Dominican Republic. For those one that are seeing me for the first time, my name is Caleb Acosta, Caleb in Spanish. I'm from the Dominican Republic. This is my beautiful family, my wife Amanda, two daughters, Eliana, the oldest one, and Camila, the youngest, and then there's one inside that is almost coming out soon. We're gonna name her Isabella. So Isabella, the due date is July 9th. So God has been good, and Camila kind of grew up here. She was born in this church, and she's coming over here. She's the walking one. She's going to preach with me today. God bless you, Camila. So God is good, and he's taking care of us. And that's one of the things that I chose that hymn, because I identify with those words that are in the hymn. And I know that you guys do also. If you can remember all the things that God has done in your life, you can see that God is good and he's taking care of us. Doesn't matter what is happening in your life or in my life, God is taking care of us. So I'm going to tell a little bit about my story before we go deep in the Bible. So on June 2nd, I'm going to dental school in Puerto Rico. So in Dominican Republic, I went through dental school, did all the schooling, became a dentist there. And then when I was in dental school, I met my wife, and then all my plans changed. And now instead of being a dentist in the Dominican Republic, now I was looking to be a dentist in the U.S. But it was not going to be as easy as I thought. So I did some searching and all that, what you need to do to become a dentist in the U.S. And then I saw a bunch of tests that you need to take. And then they were saying you need to go to school, back to school, and take the last 2 years of dental school. So it had been a process. And trusting in God as well. So at this point, I did all my tests that I was required to. And then I sent applications to different schools. I applied to like 13 schools. At the beginning, I was just getting rejection for a bunch of them, a bunch of rejection letters. So a school from New Jersey, Rutgers, was the one who sent me like an interview invitation. So I went to New Jersey and for the first time, and I had my interview with them, and I felt like really good with the interview. And then they said like, yeah, in a week we're gonna let you guys know if you're in or not. Then after that, I got an email saying you're in a wait list. So I was like, well, at least I got in the wait list with Rutgers. And that wait list, just waiting and waiting, and a month came, 2 months, three, four, five, and not answer. And I sent an email back. I'm still interested in going to your school. So I didn't hear back from them. And we were praying, always praying also with John every week, every Friday. And my wife, my family, I know you guys also from church, praying for that. Sorry that the camera is there. So it was a lot of praying and being faithful in God's promise. So I got another call from a university in Puerto Rico, a different one that I'm going now. That one was from the capital in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So I got that call, that email from them also inviting me to go and do an interview and what they call a bench test. It's like a practical test that they give. So I went to Puerto Rico, and like it felt good. And we knew that Puerto Rico was the direction that God was leading us to go. But then a few weeks after, I also got a rejection from them, saying a denial. So I was like, okay, God, like, where do you want me to go? We thought it was Puerto Rico, but it's not now. And I didn't have other options. I remember at that point calling my mom in the Dominican Republic and telling her, like, you know, it's kind of hard. It's not easy. I think I'm not going to apply to any other schools at this time anymore. It's a big investment and just a lot of time. I was like, I should focus now on my family and just stay as a dental assistant for a little bit and then probably go back and do the applications again. And my mom was like, you need to stay faithful in God. God is leading you. Like, you are a dentist because he wanted you to be a dentist. You are there in the U.S. because God wanted you to be there, and I know that he has a purpose for you. And just a day after that and praying with my wife, I got a call. I was working, and I saw my phone, and I got a call from Rutgers University. So it says, like, Rutgers University, New Jersey. And I was like, Rutgers calling me now? They already started the program in February, and now it's March. So I heard, like, they sent me a voicemail. I heard what they're saying. Like, they were asking me if I was in the program already, if I was interested in going into a new program that is just opening right now in Ponce, is South Puerto Rico. And I was like, are you guys serious? And they say, yes. Like, are you interested in going to Ponce, Puerto Rico? It's a new school. They have all the accreditation for dental school. And I was like, of course, sign me in. And then there was a quick call. And I was so happy to hear that. Out of nowhere, this possibility of becoming a dentist came. And I know that it was God leading everything, every single piece. He allowed me to go to Rutgers for a purpose. And now he opened the door and going to Ponce, Puerto Rico for a two-year program. I'm going to be doing the last 2 years of dental school. And hopefully we'll see what is the next chapter of our story, because God is the one writing it. I'm not the one. And I know it's the same for your life as well. God is writing our story. And this is my prayer every day, because I want God to lead me. I'm still a young guy, and every single day I pray, Lord, lead my way. I want you to be my guide. I don't want to do my will. I want your will to be done in me, in my family. So it's our prayer. I know, guys, it's sad to say goodbye, sad to see people leave in the church. But the most important thing is when God is leading something, we need to follow. We need to follow. As we go in the Bible and we see all the stories in the Bible, we see when God told Abraham to leave the family and go just with the hope of a land, a promised land. He took everything, all his family, and he went for that. Just trust in God, and he is going to take care of us. So today, we're going to study a great story, one of my favorite since I was a kid. And it's found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting in the verse 19 to the 25. So go to book of Luke, chapter 8, from the verse 22, to 25. And that story is titled Wind and Wave Obey Jesus. Wind and Wave Obey Jesus. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about it. We all know. I really like it since I was a little guy, because it's talking about storms, and I just picture like the lightnings and the winds and the wave. I'm from the Dominican Republic, a city with the Atlantic Ocean. I was born surrounded by water, just like here in Michigan. You have a lot of water around Traverse City area. So I was, you know, I could picture the storms. I remember when we had like all those hurricanes there in the Dominican Republic. It will start always in the ocean. You will see the clouds in the ocean, and then the clouds will come back to the land, and you have a lot of water, a lot of water, big winds, and all of that. So I always like picture myself in this situation. But here, in those verses, just in the ones before, we have Jesus that is preaching in Galilee. I don't even know if that is the right pronunciation, right? Galilee? He is preaching there from the boat to the people, and he says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. So we have this situation. They were on the boat, and Jesus told them, let's go in. Let's cross to the other side. And I can picture the disciples at that time. A few of them were already, they had some kind of knowledge of water and storms. They were fishermen. And I don't know if they had a little cloud there, if they could see something happening. Right now we have on the phone, we can see the weather, what is going to happen probably tomorrow. Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot? Maybe in the afternoon we know, is it going to be raining or snowing? We kind of know that. I don't know if they had that. They didn't have that, right? So, but they were fishermen, and they kind of knew the water and the weather. That is my guess. Probably Peter had kind of knowledge. And then they had Jesus saying, let's cross to the other side. And probably they were like, it's cloudy, Lord. Can you see the clouds over there? It's going to rain. We're going to be in the middle of it. But they just followed Jesus, got on the boat, and they were sailing. They went to the other side. And I want to pause there and see with you the purpose of what Jesus is going to do in the other side of the lake, sea, river, whatever it's called. So if you turn your page, you see what Jesus is going to do in the other side. So there is the story of the demon-possessed man. So the purpose of Jesus going to the other side was to cast out that demon from this man, to do something great in that place, in that man's life. So Jesus had a plan already, and he knew his purpose. He was going there. But every single second that the disciples spent with Jesus was like a learning process for them. They were learning of every single thing. So they were in the boat, and probably Jesus was tired of preaching. probably the entire day preaching over there in Galilee in front of those people, and he falls asleep. So he's sleeping there in the boat in the middle of the sea, and then the storm came. A lot of winds, a lot of big wave probably moving the boat. And I wonder, like, how can you sleep in that weather? I don't know if they had like something covering so he doesn't get the water in it, but like, how can you sleep in the middle of a weather like that with rain, with winds? Like, I can imagine it was pretty bad because those were fishermen. They were used to winds and probably rain in the middle of the sea, but that was not just a normal storm. That was a big storm, a huge one, that they were really, really afraid of it. So Jesus was calm and he was asleep there. Like when I go to and take a plane, I get a little dizzy when the turbulence and also in the landing and the takeoff. And something that I do to calm myself down is to close my eyes and try to fall asleep. So when the takeoff, I just close my eyes and somehow I fall asleep really quick. And when I wake up, we're already smooth over there and I don't feel the dizziness. And also for the landing part as well, same thing. And I just wake up when we are at the gate and I'll be, oh, it was a great flight. Didn't have any turbulence. So that is what I usually do when I go on a plane. And I can relate myself with Jesus there, sleeping in the turbulence, sleeping in the storm, and then having other people, as having the disciple at the same time, being crazy, trying to get all the water out, especially when you're with your master, you want to show off. I don't know if that's the right show off. When you're with your teacher, when you're with probably your boss, you want to do something. Oh, probably I can think Peter saying, we are the fishermen. We are the one who knows how to handle the sea and the waters and the storm. He's just a carpenter that we're following, and he's called to be a master. We are the one who knows about this. We're going to take all the water out until the storm is done, and we're not going to wake up Jesus. We don't need to bother him right now. We're just going to try ourselves with the knowledge that we have, and we're going to do it. So I can see the 12 disciples in the storms with the bucket getting water out. Don't wake up, Jesus. We can do this. Let's get all the water out. And then they realized that they were not capable of. There was something that they were not capable. The storm was bigger than their knowledge. And that can happen to us sometimes. We can probably think that we can do it by ourselves. I'm a doctor. I can do this. I went to school for 8 years. This is a little problem. It's not going to overcome me. I can do this. I'm strong. I go to the gym. I have muscle. I can do that. And at some point, we realize that we are nothing, that we need someone greater than us that has the really power to help us. And at that moment, they realized that their knowledge was for nothing, that they needed Jesus. And Jesus was there sleeping. I don't know if he had a pillow or a blanket for the cold water and the rain. But he was there on the boat. But probably that was the second or third thought for the disciples to go to Jesus, when that needs to be our first thing when we have problems. I don't know why, but it's something in us that we try to solve everything by ourselves. We try to think with a lot of logic. I don't know if that is the right. You can help me, guys, if I pronounce something bad. Just with the logic, this is logical, and we're going to go this way. But sometimes Jesus' ways are unlogical. Is that a word? Not logical. Sometimes Jesus' ways are not logical. Jesus' ways go aside of the logic. I don't know if you're following me. Jesus' ways, most of the times, sometimes, are not your ways. But we are, you know, we are human. Sometimes, if you know math, you go with the logic. If physics, you know, you solve the problems. These are the numbers. And you can see the numbers over there. You can't go the other way because it's not going to work. But Jesus has his ways. And we need to trust him. So how can you be scared when you have Jesus in your boat? Do you believe that something was going to happen to them? Was something bad was going to happen to the disciples? Having Jesus there sleeping, even though he was sleeping, do you believe that something bad was going to happen to them? I don't think so. Jesus was there with them, and they were afraid. They didn't know what to do. They thought the storm was bigger than them. And then you have Jesus. They go to Jesus. And Jesus, what he did? They go, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the water. And they ceased, and there was calm. So I don't know what storm you're going through. What is your storm? What problem? What challenges you're going through in your life? But I know a guy that has the power to calm the storm. I trust the Lord. I believe in Jesus, who has the power to cease the winds and the waves. This is our God. And I don't know why we sometimes forget that. Even me. We want to do our things our way. We want to do things and then remember that we have a God. One of the hardest part in my life that I faced was when my dad passed away. Like, I was seeing God leading me to get into this career since when I got in high school, I saw God leading me into dentistry. I remember people telling my parents, like, "I don't know how you guys are going to send your kids to college," because they didn't have the resources. We were a humble family there in the Dominican Republic. And my parents didn't have the resources to send us to college. And God somehow led us and helped us. And I ended up studying in the most expensive university in the Dominican Republic. How? Trusting in the Lord. He takes care of us. So I see God opening doors for me and leading me to this career. And then I became a dentist there. I had my diploma. I met my wife, Amanda. And with the process of me coming to the U.S. was also a long process. Took me 2 years after we got married. Careful there. It took me 2 years after we got married to come to the U.S. And we already had Eliana at this time. She was a little baby. I was in the Dominican Republic. I was not able to come to the U.S. yet. And it was a hard time. And in that process, the end of the process, we were supposed to go to the U.S. Embassy in the Dominican Republic. And we also were supposed to have an interview with an officer of the United States there in the embassy, and they will have like the interview, just making sure that the relationship is a real one and all that. So we went there, and we were at the embassy. First, there's an officer who takes all the papers and asks you like a few questions, but that's not a real interview. In that first one, I was like so nervous that I didn't remember my phone number, and I was answering everything wrong, and Amanda was there, and she wanted to kill me at that point. So that was the first one. At least that was not the real one. It was just like getting the information. And then we went to the real officer, and I was praying and with Amanda as well and my family. And I see that they have like little kind of station, like with numbers, and they give you a number and you're gonna go to that gate window. And there you're gonna have that interview. So we have like our paper and everything, and they put your number there, and you see that you're going there. So I see that a lady is there, and she lifts the chair, and another guy comes in, and when he sits there, he press and put our number, and we go into that window. It ended up that this guy is from Traverse City. And instead of having like a really, you know, awkward conversation or really hard interview, it was like a friendly interview conversation when they find out that Amanda is living here in Kinsley and all of that. And everything went smoothly and fine. So we was like, that is not coincidence. Like, we know that God was there at this moment. So I got my visa, and I came to the U.S., and I came here in December. I was so happy to be with my wife and my daughter, but I left my family and everything I knew in the Dominican Republic. So it was also a hard transition for me. New language, I'm still learning right now how to speak English. But everything was new for me, and I was here, but it was an answer for our prayer at that moment. But then, after 7 months, I had the hardest thing in my life when at almost 6 a.m., I got a call from the Dominican Republic, and they told me that my dad just passed away. We weren't expecting that. And it was hard for me to think about it, because I was saying that, Lord, you just brought me here like 7 months ago. This was also your plan. And why is that just happening now? Like, I just saw my dad at the airport 7 months ago and said bye to him. And he wasn't sick at all. He was in good health. He was running marathon and doing exercise and all that. And why is that happening right now? I didn't even have the chance to, you know, say a really goodbye. But I say, see you later. And this see you later stays still. So things, storms like that happens in our life. And how do we handle those things? Knowing that God has a plan for you. Jesus was the one who told them to go and cross the sea. It wasn't the disciple. They were fine in the shore, you know. They were fine there. And Jesus told them to go and cross the sea. So in our thoughts, we can say probably Jesus set them up. I don't know if you can think about it. Into the middle of the storm. So sometimes, even when Jesus is leading your life and you're following, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems and difficulties in your life. But something I know, that he is there with you as well. You're not alone. Jesus is there in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. He is there with you. Even though you think he's asleep, he is there with you. He's protecting you. He's taking care of you. We are not alone. You are not alone. God is with you. He takes care of me. He takes care of you. We need to believe that. Every day, things happen. This life is not easy. It's not an easy life. One day, you're happy. Another day, you're sad. One day, you're celebrating a birthday party. Another day, you're in a funeral. We have a hard life. We go through a storm to another storm into another storm. But Jesus taught us that we are not alone. And our landing par, our gate, is the New Jerusalem. Our gate is the New Jerusalem. That is our goal. This is not our world. There is something better for us, for you, and for me. And Jesus promised us that he is there with you. This is the message for this morning. Jesus is taking care of us. Jesus is taking care of you. You are not alone. Doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, you are not alone. Doesn't matter how hard, how difficult the storm is, he can calm the storm down. He has power over the storm. He has power over any situation that you're going through. And the powerful God is with us. Amen to that. So they went through the storm, and Jesus asked, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And church, I ask us, where is our faith? Even in situations like this that you see us living, and you might say, like, but we need people here. We need to fill all these empty chairs. Is Jesus asleep? What is our faith? He's in control. This is his church. It's not our church. He's taking care of us. And to the church, I said, we are not alone. The powerful God is with us. So today, take this message with you and really believe that God is in control. And before we end, let's sing again. God will take care of you. So join me. And really, when you're singing, when you can come, Marla. When you're singing, going through the words, like, feel that God is talking to you through this hymn. God will take care of you.